You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Tertiary education is one of the biggest issues for young people this election, with the debate around tertiary education policy heating up this week. We find out how Labor's recent tertiary policy package will affect tertiary students and how they feel about it and the state of tertiary education in New Zealand more generally. Earlier, I spoke with the National President of the New Zealand Union of Students Association, Jonathan G. To be studying in New Zealand at the moment. I mean, what is the current environment like for New Zealand students?
I think from my perspective, I think those who go into tertiary education really enjoy going into tertiary study. There's been research done around tertiary education and the fact that it transforms lives in terms of just the people you meet, the stuff that you learn, and it takes a whole lot of low-income families out of poverty as well. So I think, you know, by and large, it is an enjoyable experience, people going to tertiary education. Though there definitely are issues lingering on access in terms of support while you are studying, which does lead to also adverse effects for you when you graduate.
So what sort of lack of support are you talking about here?
So I'm talking about financial support and also mental health support. I guess what we've seen over the last 9 years with the current government is this gradual defunding of student support, you know, whether it is around discontinuing postgraduate allowances, freezing the parental threshold of eligibility for the student allowance itself, putting in a lifetime limit on student loans, putting in an age limit for allowances as well. This gradual decrease in student support that we've seen, which we've seen is creating a lot of stress in the lives of a lot of students, and I think is definitely a factor in terms of mental health and the mental health crisis that we see within tertiary study.
Totally. It's like, it's not as if university is not a stressful place already, trying to pass exams and stuff, but having that financial burden.
Exactly. And what we're seeing there, I think, is, you know, students are focused on economic survival rather than actually academic success, which is obviously why they're in tertiary education in the first place.
Totally. But do you think that is a universal problem that's not specific to New Zealand?
You mean mental health or?
Well, yeah, both mental and financial health. I mean, in terms of university students struggling, is that just now a universal given that all university students are expected to have a 3 years of hardship?
No, I don't think we should accept that it's sort of a given that we should be facing this hardship. Yes, you know, it's tough being a student, and we accept that. But when I hear students are struggling to afford their basic needs, you know, things like food, transport, even their rent, I think that's a form of poverty in my view, and I don't think as a country we should be accepting that. So actually there are countries around the world who have free tertiary education, who also alongside their free tertiary education have universal student allowances as well for these students. So, I think as a society we shouldn't be accepting the limited financial support that students are getting.
So the Labour Party have come up with their policy on education, which is 3 years free tertiary. How have students responded to this? Is this a big boost for students?
Yeah, I think students have received this really well. I think they accept that, you know, as I said before, tertiary study is a really enjoyable experience. But unfortunately, the student population is becoming less reflective of the general population. And by that I mean, you know, for those who go to university, some research that we found was that if you go to university, you're three times more likely to have gone to a private school than that of the general population. And these statistics are rising here. So what you're seeing is that there's a question of access in terms of lower income families, people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, they're getting less access to tertiary education. So I think any sort of move towards free tertiary education and removing barriers to tertiary study will be of benefit in terms of access to tertiary study for New Zealanders.
Have we seen many examples of overseas where free tertiary has, you know, has provided this?
I think we have, and you know, I would look to sort of countries such as Scotland, Germany, Norway, Sweden, Estonia, and actually parts of the US as well, which have free tertiary education. And, you know, there's this debate that actually, you know, that it benefits the rich, that rich students from rich families get free tertiary study just as much as poor families. But actually, you know, I would argue, and I think a lot of these countries who have free tertiary study would also argue, that's the reason why we have a progressive tax system, that, you know, that those who earn more and are more well off are paying more for that free tertiary education than those who are less well off. So actually, I think we are seeing sort of the benefits across the world as well, though a lot of it is a relatively new phenomenon in terms of to sort of the last sort of 20 years. And that we, like, we used to have free tertiary, then a lot of countries ended up sort of charging fees. And now we're sort of gradually seeing this sort of pull back into free tertiary education. So I think the benefits are yet to come.
Are we going to be expecting with, I mean, if Labor are elected to government, and it'll be at the start of 2019, I believe it was, for the 3 years, are we going to be expecting a massive influx of students here? Are universities going to be able to handle with that?
So my understanding is the policy will come in next year if Labor get into government.
Yeah,
so,
my mistake, sorry.
Yeah, so 2018. I don't think we'll see a massive influx. And I think what we need to remember as well is that tertiary education isn't just university. So it includes vocational training, trades, apprenticeships, polytechs, wānanga. So there's a range of different options for year 13s going into next year should Labor get elected. So I don't think we're going to see a massive influx in university. And actually the other thing that we've been pushing for alongside this free tertiary policy is actually we need better careers advice at high school as well. So we need to give year 13s and actually earlier than year 13 as well, just better options and a better understanding about what it looks like to go into tertiary study. You know, there are still a number of barriers in terms of tertiary study, not just the financial. And by that I mean, you know, particularly for those who might be the first in their family to go into tertiary study, just not knowing what it's like to go into tertiary education, not knowing what a tutorial is, what a lecture is, the sort of that sort of barrier of leaving your home to go into a destination university or other tertiary institution. There are also a number of other barriers, I think, to tertiary study. So, you know, I don't think this will create a massive influx, but I think it will give Year 13 some options for next year.
National President of the Tertiary Education Union, Sandra Gray, spoke to me earlier about this and a few other issues. For New Zealand tertiary educators, where do they currently stand with how the current government has been working for education? Do they feel valued?
Look, certainly for the members of the union and who work across, you know, polytechnics, universities, wānanga and a range of other spaces, the last government, the National Led Government, has actually been quite disastrous for education. We've got about $1 billion shortfall in terms of the cost of running the sector. This means that we've got a lack of support services for students, we've got really high class numbers and, you know, a real struggle to find resources and support students, and it's certainly not something we want to see continue. So we think it's about time we took a look as a country about how we support students, how we support education, and take a look at some of the other parties.
So what is currently the largest risk to tertiary education in New Zealand?
The biggest risk we're actually seeing around tertiary education is that the government, the national government, under Stephen Joyce in particular, who was the Minister of Tertiary Education, has tried to make it a private good, make education a private good. And this means that costs go up for students, that access becomes more limited because all of the providers try and rush to where all the students are, which actually is usually Auckland. And we see lots of provision closing in the regions. We see lots of courses closing in communities like Gisborne and Timaru and others, which is really, really bad for the country as a whole, but bad for students who often want to stay in their own communities and study, or even for those students who want to go somewhere else and study, you know, limiting down choices. Also, we've seen real cuts to the types of papers being taught, say, at universities, with real attempts to control courses so that we only teach courses that have what they think is instrumental value, will lead directly to a job, rather than seeing education as something about creating the next generation of citizens as well as workers. And, you know, for educators, that's a total degradation of our education system. It should be about, you know, following our passions, making sure we have really great citizens who can debate all sorts of topics, not just workers.
So you're saying the national government has something of a tunnel vision in terms of looking at education?
They see education as helping the economy, full stop. They don't think about all of the other things that education provides in terms of the good life. Of course, we want all of our students to get decent jobs and decent wages. That's really, really important. But we also want them to, you know, be able to go out there and be part of their communities, to, you know, be engaged in community projects, be engaged in sports clubs, whatever it is that's their passion. And education can foster that, but not if we continue under this current national government's plan.
So Labor have quite a large policy announcement in that they are going to be providing 3 years of free tertiary education to all New Zealanders. How is the Tertiary Education Union responding to this?
Look, we welcome a range of parties who've actually said they're going to look at the student support. We know our students are in real hardship. We know we have students who have both, you know, real physical needs around housing and food and are struggling to make ends meet, or are working, you know, 15, 20, 25 hours a week just to pay their rent. That's not doing us any good. So it is time as a country we said, actually, you know, sharing's a good thing. We should pool our money and support our students a little bit better. So we welcome what Labor's doing. We also do know that the Greens and New Zealand First have some really strong policies around making education more accessible, making sure that students can study, making sure people don't miss out. They differ in various ways, but overall we see from those three parties a real push to actually say, you know, students deserve to have a life and study and be able to you know, not end up with really massive debts, which make the rest of their lives quite difficult.
What do you think of the criticism that by making tertiary education in New Zealand so accessible, there's a threat that it can be, like there might be an influx of students, and that puts some unnecessary pressure on these institutions in terms of teaching?
One of the things that we do know is, you know, that the government has been worried particularly about student debt, not for the same reason as most of us, which is we don't want students indebted, but because, you know, they have to carry that on their books as a government debt. So, you know, they've been trying to limit student numbers because of that. And they've done it in very harsh ways by, you know, basically prohibiting anybody coming back and going into second chance learning or taking up a second degree or retraining when they've been made redundant. So, you know, that's how they've made those limits. But, you know, they have, as a result, underinvested overall. And we are going to actually have to see the country agreeing to put some more money in to make sure we've got enough tutors, to make sure we've got enough support staff, to make sure that we don't have overcrowded classrooms. I mean, I know that certainly in some of the universities, classrooms that are only supposed to have 18 students for a tutorial sometimes have 26 in them. You know, just on a basic level, if we're going to have more students, of course we need more resources overall. But also, you know, people, you know, come and go in and out of the tertiary education sector. You know, we're not going to see every single person deciding that they're all going to come to one university all of a sudden. These things can be planned for. These things can be coped with. We just need to see education as something that's really, really positive, that has a positive impact, not just on the student themselves, but on their community, on their families, and on the economy.
Tertiary policy is taking centre stage this election following Labor's recent policy package. Universities are paying close attention to the various parties' announcements regarding their sector and the repercussions these could have for tertiary education in New Zealand. I spoke with Chris Whalen from Universities New Zealand about tertiary policy, first asking him about how tertiary policy in New Zealand compares with elsewhere.
Look, at many levels it's very similar. New Zealand is part of a global community, and our education policy people watch very closely what goes on around the rest of the world. Whenever a country like Australia or the United Kingdom has a major policy announcement, say a change in fees policy or how to lift accessibility, invariably flows through or informs the shaping of policy here in New Zealand.
How much of an effect does government policy have on tertiary education in New Zealand?
Oh, a huge amount. So if I take, say, just the university sector, 51% of funding comes directly from government through taxpayer-subsidised tuition fees, and government controls another 30% of that funding by determining how much tertiary institutions can actually charge in tuition fees. So very much tertiary providers have one major customer, government, and like any major customer, that government can, its policy settings determine very much what we do or don't do.
Do governments, by and large, have a consistent approach to tertiary policy in New Zealand?
different types of government will probably emphasise different things, but certainly, for example, the current government is very focused on employment outcomes. So what are tertiary providers doing to make sure that, you know, if people are spending 3 or 4 years getting degrees, that that's actually going to lead to meaningful employment and world outcomes. But, you know, likewise, this government's very focused on things like, you know, making sure that international education is contributing positively to the economy, that research is of high quality and good impact, and that, in fact, you know, universities are producing good citizens, people who are able to contribute. And, you know, that doesn't change too much from government to government. You know, past governments might have emphasised a bit more around, say, lifting, say, access to different types of groups, but generally, everyone's looking for a good return from the investment, you know, in their tertiary education system.
And turning to Labor's recent tertiary policy announcement, how do you see that affecting tertiary education in New Zealand?
For us, anything that lifts access to tertiary education is good. When we look at all the stats around how the job market is evolving, you know, we looked at, for example, the last two censuses, 2006 and 2013, and between those two censuses, the whole job market grew by about 1.4%. So, in other words, more jobs were created overall. But in saying that, 86,000 skilled jobs were created, 86,000 more skilled jobs were created than were than disappeared, and 80,000 unskilled jobs disappeared more than were actually created. So the world is slowly shifting. You know, the ability to succeed and participate in the economy is increasingly depending on being educated, and you know, tertiary education is therefore a pretty important part of government policy.
The current government very much focuses on STEM subjects. Do you see this continuing under future governments?
Look, I'd hope there'd be a bit of a rebalancing, because job market outcomes show that there's no real difference between you know, having a STEM degree from having an arts degree. Absolutely, you'll earn more if you have, say, a medical degree or a engineering degree. But, you know, for most science graduates, the employment and earning outcomes are about the same as for arts graduates. And actually, for arts graduates, they're very good as well. Unemployment rates for a typical BA in New Zealand is well under 2%. You know, within 3 years, you know, the average arts graduate, if they're working full-time, will be on about $55,000 a year, which is slightly above the national salary average. So, in fact, there are good outcomes for graduates, regardless of whether they're arts or science.
Where do you see tertiary education in New Zealand headed?
There's been a big trend over the past 25 years, what's been called the kind of massification of education, and it sort of began post-Second World War and accelerated in the last 25 years, but it has been very much around recognising that we do live in an age where your knowledge economy, it does require skilled, educated workers. And so we see tertiary education continuing to expand, more and more young people acquiring degree-level qualifications to be able to participate in the economy. And, you know, 1992, 8% of the population had a degree. Roll forward to today, it's 28%, and 38% of young people are starting university within 5 years of leaving school.
You said that New Zealand has half the funding per student of countries like America. Why is this?
Well, look, there's been a long-term trend of, you know, slowly reducing the amount of funding per student that's, you know, available in New Zealand. So countries like the United States, where fees are highly deregulated, universities can charge pretty much as they want. In New Zealand, because the government largely controls those settings, they've kept the cost down. That's made it extremely difficult for New Zealand universities to maintain the quality that you'd perhaps see in some of those kind of United States type institutions, where they do get 91% more funding per student. Even in Australia, 27% more per student.
So if Labor were to introduce their policy of 3 years free tertiary, would you expect to see the quality decline?
It'll put potentially more pressure on the system if there's no more funding. We would certainly be encouraging any government that's thinking about how to make the best difference, you know, economically and socially, to think about, well, you know, you might get more kids going through, say, university, but the goal is to make sure they're getting a high-quality education and that they are coming out best positioned to be able to, you know, succeed personally and to contribute, you know, to the country. So you've got to actually invest in your education system to be sure you can do that.
And obviously there's an election coming up. Do you believe there's been enough discussion around tertiary education and policy?
I don't think there has been to this point, but I think certainly the Labour Party's policy announcement has brought the conversation, you know, front and centre. I think that's a good thing. I think education is an absolutely critical part of how you, you know, position your economy to succeed and how you have a, you know, an effective, cohesive society. And I think it's good to have that conversation, you know, on an ongoing basis.
Despite the focus on universities, tertiary education takes many forms. Ben spoke with Josh Williams of the Industry Training Organisation about tertiary education outside the classroom.
New Zealand's tertiary system does contain different kinds of providers and institutions, the universities, Wānanga, the Institutes of Technology, polytechnics, private training establishments, and industry training organisations. And that last bit, the industry training and apprenticeship system, that's the bit that my organisation represents. What that's offering is different kinds of pathways for young and old, really. A lot of tertiary education stories and announcements focus on school leavers and, you know, people, what happens to them after they leave school at year 13 or year 12. But, you know, the actual system is lifelong, and we certainly in our sector, for example, the average age of an apprentice is 26. We'd like more young people to think about trades and apprenticeships than the industries that offer earn and learn earlier. It's why we run campaigns like we did last week, Got a Trade, Got It Made, because we think, you know, more young people who are sitting there in their final years of school thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do next, could think about a pathway where there's no loans, very little fees, and you have a job, and then you can always get your degree later.
What are some of the challenges facing industry training organisations?
Yeah, well, as I say, we've noticed that the average age is 26, and that, for example, the largest source of construction apprentices right now is universities, which, you know, might sound a bit strange to some. I mean, you know, that's all good. I mean, it's nothing right or wrong about that. It's probably awesome, the experience that had at university. But I guess one of the problems we think is that when it comes back into the schools and what gets put in front of kids around careers advice and what the options actually are, that university overly dominates the conversation, right? Right through to picking subjects, pens and pencils, exams. That's all practice for an academic next step. It's not practice for a working next step, and you might argue it's not really practice for a life next step. So, as I say, you know, that's overgeneralizing. There are lots of schools now that are doing pretty cool things around packaging up different kinds of options and pathways for senior students. But most schools, most kids, most of the time are asking to pick subjects on a timetable. And, you know, that was cool back in 1971 when the only people in the last 2 years of high school were going to uni. But the statistic is that only 3 out of 10 kids go to uni. And, you know, as I say, got nothing against university. But in the end, we see every student going from education to employment via one bit of the tertiary system or another. And we think there should be kind of more focus on that story, because coming at it from our perspective, whenever there's something like, for example, Labor's announcement this week about first year free, everybody just thinks about young people going to do an undergrad degree at uni. And as I say, that's 3 out of 10 school leavers. So what about the rest?
And just returning, actually, you mentioned Labor. What have you made of the various parties' policies?
Well, I'll just speak in terms of our space. And I mean, the good news there is everybody agrees we need more apprentices, which is awesome. I mean, you know, we'd probably be a bit surprised if a political party came out and said we need no apprentices. At the moment, the economy is going well. Unemployment is down. Jobs growth is up. And lots of the sectors that we represent are looking for people. So, you know, there's a real need there and there are lots of opportunities out there. So, you know, for the most part, we've got the current government that's set a target around 50,000 apprentices by 2020. We're currently on 43,000. So that's good. And, you know, we actually think more support needs to be provided to employers to take apprentices on, particularly in the first year, where they tend to say, well, sometimes people are just learning how to be workers and sometimes they've got issues in their backgrounds or various things that can happen. So a little bit of support for the employer in the early stages of an apprenticeship, you know, in a sense that's our version of first year free, would go a long way. So on the Labor side, certainly, I mean, you go back to the Future of Work Commission that they put out, that said a lot of good things, we think, in terms of what I was talking about before, that actually the 21st century means you're going to be needing to gain skills throughout your life. You're going to have lots of different jobs and maybe multiple careers. And so it sort of gets me back to, if the model at the moment is you go to school and then you do a great big degree and you sort of front load all of the investment in tertiary education before people have even got going in the workforce, and it's quite expensive and they gain debt, maybe we should think more differently about integrating between institutions and workplaces to make sure people are getting on pathways and getting the right skills, and really acknowledging the idea that, you know, if you're going to be in the working world for 50 years, you know, you're going to need to be getting tertiary education throughout that life in work. One of the real mistakes that we are making is putting it into this binary of there's university or there's something less good than university. To be honest, as I said before, every student is on their way to the workforce, and they either think to themselves, oh my God, I need a job, if they, you know, the day they leave school at 16 because it didn't go very well, or they can get a master's degree and have a parade and you know, shake the vice chancellor's hand and have their degree, and the next day they say to themselves, oh my God, I need a job. So to me, actually, that story about education to employment and how the tertiary education system wraps around the person to basically say, this is what's going to help you now, that's the system that we need to have.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.